I'm losing track of the knobs here. Sorry. Because I gotta. Travis echoes if I'm not like over here paying attention to him talking, so I gotta turn him up.
Quit messing with my knob. God damn.
Matches up in front of you.
No, I expected you to do it, but I'll do it.
Oh, okay, because I'm not doing enough. Oh, the new world champion?
I need a second. I need a second.
The new champion for All Elite Wrestling? Yeah. Mr. Samoa Joe?
And welcome in. Hello, hello, everybody. And they mama, it is time. It's the most wonderful time
of the year. It's WrestleMania week.
WrestleMania week by George. Somehow or another, we have made it. We are on the cusp. We are on the brink of the 40th anniversary of the greatest spectacle this sport has ever seen, WrestleMania. How was that?
That was fantastic. You know who else's 40th anniversary it is?
Who?
Me! Because I'm 40. Nice. I'm the same age as WrestleMania because they skipped a year in between 1 and 2.
That's fair.
It's fantastic.
Technically, Hulkamania is older than WrestleMania if we're counting the manias.
I mean, that's fair.
So, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot to get to. But first, I want to ask a question not related to wrestling.
Oh.
Yeah, you didn't know about that.
Not related to wrestling.
We didn't plan this at all.
Oh, no.
Do you give the flip of a wooden nickel about the eclipse coming up?
A little bit. Because I have a kid, I think.
Because
Jason's kind of into it.
And I'm not knocking it. Like, so this is not me knocking when I say this. Because I'm like, I couldn't care less.
It's cool because probably because I have a kid. I think it's cool.
I mean,
it's fine.
I'm sitting there just, bruh, I am so tired. You're cool, but it's going to cut.
But they're trying to be like, there's going to be an influx of thousands of people. So it's like, we keep hearing about it because they're trying to prepare us and good old beat us over the head. This is apparently the only way we listen, and then sometimes we don't listen anyway. I'm going to have all my supplies. It's WrestleMania weekend.
I was just curious.
I got a few more things to buy Saturday morning, and not that I really do move from this room, because I'm either on the Xbox doing shit here, watching TV, sometimes on the couch, sometimes I'm watching it here, but yeah, I'm not leaving this room.
I wondered if it was just me. Like, I don't.
I'm sorry, studio.
The manor.
Yes, McCarthy Manor.
Let us know in the comments below, wrestling fans, Buckle Brigade.
Yeah, I guess I should keep an eye on those too.
Do you care about the solar eclipse? Because I just don't.
It's over here.
So I just don't. But there's a lot to talk about in wrestling, and let's get to that.
Yeah. Watch wrestling. Whatever wrestling you like, but don't destroy what you don't watch.
Watch all of them.
Well, that's fine, but that's a lot. I understand.
Well, we watch almost all of it.
Almost. I mean, it's a lot. I'm still in the habit of not watching NXT because we used to do a show on Tuesdays.
And
nothing against NXT. It just became a habit of, oh, the show's over, no wrestling. Like,
yeah.
Off completely because we just talked about wrestling for 3 hours. So I'm still in the habit of doing something completely unrelated to wrestling Tuesdays at 8 o'clock or 9:30, depending on if I got to take you home or not.
No, it is. For me, man, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a boatload. And unlike every other sport, folks, every other sport, we ain't done after Saturday, Sunday. We ain't taking no breather. Be right back here next Thursday, and we'll be talking about rounding up again, getting ready for Backlash and all the fun. But what do we got to talk about? What do we got to kick it off? Well, we got to kick it off with something not related to WrestleMania. Not related to WrestleMania at all.
Yeah, because not to be mean, but we kind of got to get it out of the way. Like, there's so much with WrestleMania. If we don't kick it off with AEW Dynamite, we're never going to get to it. With the news and the running the ropes, with all the news and rumors, and then WrestleMania, Night 1 and 2, Stand and Deliver, Super Card of Honor. Like, so we got to, I'm not saying we got to stop talking about bullshit, but we have to move on to different bullshit here shortly. And Buckle Brigade, that's, we're not trying to be assholes to AEW. You know how we feel about AEW, but it's not the most important thing this week, but it does deserve to be talked about.
And for the record, it's going to intertwine with another topic as we start. So let's start with AEW Dynamite.
But
it's not really AEW Dynamite, is it? Adam Copeland spoke out and kicked off the show, and he kicked off the show, and if anyone wants to tell me otherwise, that's fine, but you're wrong. Adam Copeland essentially indirectly, very much so, addressed CM Punk and what he had to say as far as his interview on the MMA Hour. So let's talk about it. That means we have to talk about CM Punk.
That's fine. It's new. I mean, I'm not against talking about him.
Sure.
It's fine.
CM Punk had a very expansive interview, doing WrestleMania Media. That's how it works. But it was mostly an AEW-related evening with him on the MMA Hour. And he said a lot of, I don't want to say outright disparaging things, but he certainly didn't make the company look very good. CM Punk had a lot to say regarding AEW. He said Tony Khan is not a boss. He's a nice guy, and he believes that's a detriment to the company. It's not his company. He believes they're not in the business to make money. They care more about, what was the quote, some goof who rates 5-star matches. I assume he's talking about our friend Knuckle Dave Meltzer. He said a lot.
Oh, 100%.
He said a lot. He talked at length about the Jack Perry situation, and he explained his side of things. So the first thing I want to get from you, and it does tie into Dynamite, we just got to take the long way around on this thing, is what do you think of CM Punk's interview and speaking out specifically on AEW and his exit from said company?
I mean, look, everyone, as we kind of talked about this a little bit, during the pre-show, everyone's going to have their own experiences. I think he baby-faced himself a lot. He definitely told CM Punk's truth, which is fine. We've had this discussion before, and other people have too. There's one side, there's another side, and the truth is somewhere in the dark and gray area in the middle. But yeah, I think he really took a lot of shots at AEW, kind of. Look, yeah, should plans have been ready for you when you got to London? Yeah, sure. But were those plans already set when you said, hey, I'm going to stay at home for another night? That's cool. You want to stay with family before you go across the pond another night? That's cool. But then if they have to go around and change those, and maybe somewhere in the kerfluffle they gave you the old information, because I don't know, but I can assume if this is how it went down and no one else had travel issues but CM Punk, then you chose late to stay home. Cool, that's your choice. The wrong information was sent to you after they fixed everything because it got lost in an email chain and they sent you the old stuff, maybe, probably, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. I could be inferring completely differently. And then they offer you a solution when you get there, and you're like, nah, fuck that. I'm just gonna go do my own thing. That's kind of your fault. Like, should they have been better prepared? Yes, but this is the biggest thing they've ever done. Cut them a little bit of fucking slack. Like, pretty sure we cut Vince some slack for a minute when he was going overseas in the middle of a fucking war when shit went down like it wasn't supposed to. Like, we didn't sit there and yell at him, even though at that time it wasn't that hard because the product still wasn't all that great. It was better than it had been for a minute, but it still wasn't, definitely not where it is now. But he baby-faced the fuck out of himself. I thought Ariel Helwani asked CM Punk easier questions than he asked Cody Rhodes.
Probably.
I think he threw CM Punk a whole bunch of softballs. I'm not bitching him. This is just from what I heard, because I didn't want to skim through 4 hours of stuff, so I listened to clips that were the whole question and the whole answer from CM Punk. So I got a pretty good idea of the interview, and like I said, the whole question, they were softballs. That's fine. That's probably a good call with somebody like CM Punk. That's why I'm not bitching at him for it. Because CM Punk, you know, love him or hate him, you ask him the wrong question, he's probably going to go off and run and say, no, fuck this, I'm done. Cody Rhodes, you can ask those hard questions. And it's a big contrast between their experiences. And yeah, a couple of people that have worked at AEW and have left have come out and bitched. But did Andrade? Not that I can recall. So, like I said, everybody has their own experience, and it's fine. I'm not mad at CM Punk for telling his truth. It is what it is. Like I said, it's somewhere in the middle. But I think it was important for Edge to kind of allude to it. And, yeah, I've heard the, what are you doing using TV time? Mentioning other companies and this and that and the other. Look, I get it. Yeah, you don't really want to do that on a regular basis like they were when the company started. Roman Reigns did that shit on SmackDown and nobody said a fucking word. Nobody said a word. Cody was off doing something else for a couple years while I was running shit. Like, you yell at Roman Reigns too? Let's not gloss over that he alluded to the other company. Because he did, straight up alluded to it, but no one says anything. Was Edge total a damage control last night? Oh, hell yeah, it was. It's like, it's not like CM Punk said, he had a bad experience. But that's what I thought. What did you think, buddy? I don't want to be too long-winded. And hopefully I didn't use too many CM Punk words.
Well, I am long-winded, and I'm going to be long-winded, and that's who I am, and that's fine, because I'm the best talker sitting in this chair, and I'm better than most at it anyway. What did I think? Number one, to be completely fair and honest, I always will respect CM Punk's candor and his gall and his seemingly inability to be afraid of the consequences for speaking whatever his truth is at the moment. I can appreciate that. I can respect that, whether I agree with it or not. Always. I respected it with the podcast with Colt Cabana. People forget he did two lengthy podcasts with Colt Cabana, and he buried the hell out of WWE.
Yeah, he did.
He buried them worse than he did AEW.
He had a way worse experience with Vince than Tony. Like,
so
apples and oranges, I guess.
So I want to state that unequivocally clear first and foremost. I still love CM Punk. I have a CM Punk T-shirt of the AEW variety under this hoodie on as we speak. I'm thrilled that CM Punk is in this business. I don't care where he works. I'm a fan of him first and foremost when it comes to the CM Punk variety. Now, let's be clear on this. Number one, I agree. Aria, they hand him softballs. You can see Aria get visibly upset at Cody Rhodes when he didn't bury AEW. You could see that. And he moved right on from the AEW topic.
Yeah, real quick. He couldn't get answers, so he moved on. Which, I mean, look, he gets paid to do what I don't. So how much can I bitch? We can just point these out.
Sure.
And I'm not mad at the dude.
No.
I'd love to talk to the guy. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I would love to.
Because he's a fan, damn it. So I'll take it.
Sure. But as far as what Punk said, I thought it was an unfair characterization of AEW. AEW makes this business better. AEW makes this business better. It's like Adam Copeland said last night. It allows more people to work and live their dream and do this thing. And plus, let's not forget, competition is a good thing, folks. Competition is a good thing. You don't believe me? How many people tuned out in droves after WCW shut down?
Look, I'll put it like this. You think the product would be that much radically different if AEW wasn't around?
Oh, certainly not. Certainly not. WWE, and people are going to say this and they're going to laugh. So let me clarify what I mean. I don't mean in the sense of, oh my God, they're coming for us. But there's a part of WWE that feels a little threatened by AEW, and you can just tell that. They're threatened by their place in the market share, threatened by the fact that, because they're achieving things in 5 years that no other company except maybe WCW, and keep in mind they had the launch pad of the NWA, which transitioned into WCW. They're achieving things in 5 years that no other company has, and I'm not putting down, and people will go, well, look at the ratings. Yeah, I hear you, and that's a good point. But in terms of the passion they're creating, in terms of the they have a better TV deal right now than TNA ever did. No disrespect to Spike. Spike was a great TV deal. For the time, they did wonderful things.
I never would have even known TNA was a thing. Experienced Samoa Joe and AJ Styles earlier in their career because of it.
But, I mean, you think about it. It was TNA, and they had a huge bloated roster for a lot of years as well. They never got beyond TNA Impact. There was a couple of other shows they tried that never really got off the ground. They did the TNA Reaction thing that was kind of like a reality-based. There was TNA Explosion, which still technically exists, but... like, they never... we're talking about three shows in 5 years with icons that are coming over. And the only thing that you can compare out of the two is icons did come over to TNA. But it wasn't the same rabid fan base and passion that AEW has created. AEW has an ECW level of passion as far as fan base goes. And that's something to be commended. Not chastised and ran down. And I do think fans on both sides get too tribalistic, and I appreciate Adam calling out homeboy for booing last night when he said WWF, because at that point, that's not the point he's making.
And that's another reason why I don't care that he mentioned the other WWF. He shut that shit down real quick. Like, oh, this is not... it's one thing to call them out and talk shit. It's another one to praise where they... came. It's like not a big deal. It's like, I get ignoring and not talking about the competition, but sometimes if you're kind of giving them props, it is what it is.
And plus, I think the guys that are coming over now and when they're coming over are different than in the day of TNA, because Adam Copeland doesn't need to come over to AEW. He chooses to come over to AEW. He could have kept wrestling for WWE on a part-time basis for years to come.
Yeah, he could have just hung out. It's fine.
It wasn't like they said, you'll never wrestle again. It was, you're not going to wrestle as much as you want to. It was never the Ric Flair situation of, it's time for you to go. It was, I want to do more. They want to keep me in kind of this part-time role. And so he's choosing to end his career. I mean, we'll see what happens, but... likely ending his career in AEW. You know, you never say never. I know he says he will, but things change.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's there. Will Ospreay is arguably the best in-ring talent in the world. You can say the same thing about Okada. And they did not go to WWE. And people can say, well, that doesn't matter. And I don't mean for WWE's bottom line, it does. I'm not saying that. But the fact is that three of the biggest free agents chose not to go to the mothership that is the WWE.
And I think the mistake there is, I guess it came out that they were offering Will Ospreay NXT money? NXT money?
That's what...
To Will Ospreay.
Well, WWE, and this continues even in the post-Vince era, if we're in it. Is they live in their own bubble of, they think that nothing counts outside of the world.
Fair.
Triple H is not as bad at that, but he's still in that thought process, because people go, well, Triple H this, Triple H that, Triple H this, Triple H that. I have news for you, ladies and gentlemen. Who has he learned the most from in the last 25 years? It's the guy that we've all deemed as Satan. And what's that old saying about those apples? They don't fall that far from the mother loving tree. We gloss over that. Like, he isn't the handpicked prodigy of Vince McMahon. We gloss over that because it's convenient.
I think some of us gloss over it because they like the product better.
But it's still glossed over.
In my defense,
I don't mean you.
I'm just saying, I didn't like Vince McMahon's creative decisions long before it was cool to not like Vince McMahon's creative decisions.
I don't mean you. It's that this guy is like, we have this idol worship to what he's doing. And I have breaking news for all of you stuck in your glass ceiling of, oh my God, Triple H is just perfect. It is not. Again, is it rolling right now? Yeah, and credit to him. I hope it continues forever, and I mean that from the bottom of my thumping gizzard. Because Ryan says to me the other day, "You used to be a WWE lifer, and now you're rooting for them to fail." I am not rooting for WWE to fail at all.
He just wants Triple H to stumble creatively a couple of times.
I don't want him to stumble at all.
I said creatively.
I just believe he will.
Well, he kind of already has a couple times. Everybody does.
I believe he will.
Name one booker or matchmaker, as some people call Tony Khan. I mean, sometimes, yeah, he's really good at those, so it's fine. But, like, no one is ever perfect in this industry. It's not. And to expect that is very short-sighted, and then to bitch about when it's not absolutely perfect and not offer solutions or talk about it like, damn, they could have done this or that and the other, but we're just gonna, and that's the toxic fan base that takes control of every conversation, because normal crazy wrestling fans like us might ignore the whole thing altogether. You start talking shit, I might say one thing, or I might just, well, I'm done with this, I'll go do something else than look at this stupid app right now.
See, here's the thing, and again, I don't want WWE to fail. I hope they never falter. I hope they continue to sell out stadiums and arenas all over this planet. I grew up with this company, I love this company. It has nothing to do. Frankly, it has more to do with the fact that my opinion on, because Ryan pointed out my loyalty to Vince. Well, and I'm sure that plays a factor. But all kidding aside, I've never liked Triple H. I've made that clear from jump. I am not a fan of that individual.
Yeah, you have not.
I'm not a fan of him. I don't think that he knows. Pretty much shit from Apple.
There's audio and video evidence from the very young days of Loganity that proves that you've never liked Triple H.
I don't like him. I don't think he's some sort of creative genius. I think that he is one of the most overhyped, overproduced WWE icons of all time. And if we took an honest look at his career, he would be in the bottom half of your top 15 stars of all time. Because frankly, he never became a star entirely on his own. And it's ironic because his creative process is the same way. There's not one major story going on WWE television that Vince didn't currently lay the blueprint for. And now you can say, well, he took that blueprint and he made it better. Okay, we can have that discussion. But we're still doing the Bloodline. We're still doing it. That's fine.
And we're going to keep doing it after WrestleMania. It's just we're going to do something else with it.
The Bloodline, Vince, Cody, Vince went and bought him. Judgment Day, originally Vince. I mean, there's not one Seth Rollins, Seth freaking Rollins, and the weird Joker character, Vince. There is not one major story going on WWE television that Vince didn't at least lay the blueprint for, and it's ironic because guess what? Triple H first becomes a star when he takes over DX from Shawn Michaels. He doesn't do it because it's on his own.
To be fair, The Rock didn't either.
I'm getting there. Don't worry. I'm just saying,
The Rock didn't either. I can think of Hogan. Maybe. I don't think anyone makes it to that level by themselves. I think that's a little much.
When I say by themselves, I mean some sort of new. Nothing with Triple H has ever been new. Nothing with Triple H's entire career. Evolution is a Four Horsemen ripoff. It has the leader of the Four Horsemen anyway.
You're making the Simpsons did it argument?
Sure.
Every stable is based off them.
The NWO is not really.
I mean, kind of.
The NWO is based off the NWO in Japan.
I mean, it's fair, but kind of. It all comes back to the roots. The roots of it all.
My better half says the Bloodline is money. I agree, Peter. It is money. But it's just weird to me. It is weird to me.
But I think
there's not... Give me one idea that Triple H has had since being in charge, that we clearly know he's in charge, that he laid and put the blueprint down for and had success with. Undeniable success.
DIY.
That is a reach.
They have gotten over with the fans. That's considered part of... Is there more for DIY to do? Yeah. But he put them in a position to be cared about just like he did in NXT.
Yeah, we all care about DIY.
I care about DIY.
DIY.
When they are in that ring, the crowd is 100% behind him. The crowd loves them. And I'm not over here trying to defend Triple H, but there's nothing wrong with taking a blueprint from somebody and going with it. Why tear everything up? I don't think that's a fair assessment.
I think you're missing my point. My point is not that these are bad things. My point is these are conveniently glossed over. Like, Vince has been a complete idiot for 20 years.
But continuing certain things and how you book the show and the time you give to wrestlers in the ring, all of those things that he's doing on my side of the table is what I like. I don't care where the ideas came from. Raw has changed under Triple H, sure, regardless of sure where everything came from. Sure. It has changed. It's sure a different product under Triple H. Is it the same stars? Is it the same storylines? But when you give a majority of your wrestlers more time, Candice LeRae and them still get the shit under the stick, but it happens all the time. That's what is kind of brought people back in, because they do have the ability to mix both when they want to.
Here's why I disagree with you, and I say this with all due respect. I don't think people are coming back in because it's some major facelift on the product. I think there's such Vince hatred out there. He's been the boogeyman for so long. Allegations currently going on against him aside, that it was like, all right, because I think much of the AEW buzz, the original AEW buzz, was it's not Vince, it's an alternative. People have grown to hate this man to such a, to such a satanic degree. It is the essential of see no evil, hear no, I can't even say his name. I mean, you think about that.
Because I was one of those people. Sure. It's because of his creative decisions. The fans that turn to AEW and still run the banner and or watch both are the ones that walked away or read results or this is fucking stupid. Are you there with Triple H? Because where I walked away from pro wrestling, and I guess this is why I defend Triple H a little bit more, I walked away from watching something that I love, something that I tried to make a career of.
Sure.
Because Vince McMahon had no competition, and it was fucking copy paste, same derivative bullshit week after week after week. And then this NXT thing comes around, and I start reading Bleacher Report's results because they're pretty spot on. They're good.
Yeah, I like them. I copy and paste from them a lot.
I might as well, right? And so he brought me back in to watching it, and I do see the NXT under Triple H fingerprints on Raw, and it makes it now. Is every week great? Not really. There were good spots Monday,
yeah,
but like as far as the full 3 hours, it's not always spot on awesome. But I think the week before I was glued. I mean, both. I think the last 2 weeks I stayed up till 11, so that says something. Normally I'll watch the recording the next day.
I'm so proud. Like,
10 o'clock, I'll finish this tomorrow.
My better half says, forgive my ignorance, what happened to Dexter Lumis? Didn't Triple H bring him back? I eventually released him. I believe Dexter Lumis still works for the company, but they're not using him. They let him go act on a show called, what is it, on True TV? I believe that Dexter Lumis still works for the WWE, but they're not using him at all. Do you think that's right?
I don't know. Let me look. Keep talking.
I think people are missing my point a little bit. I think we're getting a little broken needle syndrome. It's not. I'm not saying that Triple H is awful. I'm saying that we act like all these ideas are fresh and exciting when the grand majority of what is successful in WWE, thanks to his facelifts, I'm not trying to take credit from him, but it's been a facelift and not an entirely new face. It's been minor to major adjustments instead of here's this grand new idea. And that is my biggest question going forward in the Triple H era. Is when the bloodline ends, when Judgment Day ends, when such and such ends, will you have an idea to hook people in like we are hooked anywhere? Maybe not. It's an unfair standard to say like right now. But will you have anything close to keep people interested for months and years? And again, it'd be unfair to hold to the same standard of the bloodline because they have found lightning in a bottle here under, I mean, you can make an argument under three different creative directions. Vince's original creative direction, Triple H's creative direction, and then Vince popped back in there for a little bit, and now Triple H again. They found lightning in a bottle under three different kind of, you know, three different regimes and props to them. But I'm just very curious to see where the future holds as far as where are we in a year? Where are we in 2 years? Where are the ratings? Where's the live event? You know, what happens when we hit that first inevitable downturn? And people like Ryan tell me, well, you're rooting for that downturn. I am not. No, that's, I love this business. I'd like to make a living off this business if I somehow could. And if not, I still love it. I don't want a downturn. I hope they're selling out arenas forever. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I still love the WWE. But I just think there's a little, let's call it recency
He's
bias.
He's still on the website roster. So
let's call it recency bias, revisionist history, whatever you want to call it. Just interesting. But back to, we kind of went way off the beaten path.
Yeah, we did. But when don't we?
But that's not like it's not a timely topic. It was timely.
It's fair. That's fair.
So, but back to AEW. And frankly, if AEW ever has another meteoric rise, that'll ruin Triple H's good equity.
So, I think...
It won't for you, but for a lot of the WWE lifers.
Well, I think a lot of AEW's early success and the ones that have left to just watch WWE for whatever reason, I don't think they wanted competition. They just wanted WWE to be better. But WWE won't be better if they don't have competition. And I think that's why it's hard for people to watch every week or come back to the product, because they walked away. WWE is doing some amazing work, and at the same time, AEW is too, but they don't have the most famous person in the fucking world on their TV screens. And you know how I feel about ratings. It's a crock of shit. For one,
and you know I disagree with you on that.
Monday Night Raw and AEW Dynamite are on different nights. It's not just the number of people watching. Also, what number was it overall that night? That's what you're looking at. That's what the people upstairs that make the decisions look at. They don't go, oh, all right, so you had 800,000 people. Well, let's check this show on Monday night that we're not competing with, and we'll see how they're doing. Now, you can use that as a goal. You can use that as a barometer. But the people that make the decisions that don't fucking care about wrestling, they care about dollars and cents, are saying, oh, this performed over everything else on Wednesday. Or basketball tournament is the only thing that beat this on Saturday. I don't know if that's what happened on Saturday, because I don't dive into all that shit. But we focus too much on the overall number than what was done that night on television and compare it, because streaming and DVRing and all of those things are a thing, and they're not included in those statistics, so you don't get a full picture. I think we'll get a great full picture of when WWE moves over to Netflix. I think we'll get a great full picture, because they'll come out and say, this many people bought it when it started. This many people watched Raw last week. This, that, and the other. And it's more people have Netflix than more people have cable. We've had this discussion. I have Hulu Live because of wrestling, and that's it.
Biggs TVC, who I believe will be on the air for the final hour with us, says,
yeah,
no Johnny Gargano slander will be tolerated. Well, I got news for you, Biggs TVC. I think he's a great wrestler. I think he's a good hand, but that's all he is.
I mean, he may never be world heavyweight champion. He may never be like a Cody Rhodes, but that's okay.
He's not.
He has an important role, and it's fine.
He would be the most ineffective world champion of all time.
Maybe not. There's been worse. Probably. I don't know. Have to see what he does with it first.
My prediction is he would be the most ineffective world champion of all time.
Maybe.
I mean, maybe he's a not. Great hand.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic.
But he's a charisma vacuum.
He's getting better.
He is making
sometimes.
Yep.
I think it helps being around Tommaso Ciampa. Because Tommaso Ciampa is fully out of his shell, and I don't know if Gargano ever has been. Hi, PG.
Says, Logan loves CM Punk. I do love CM Punk. I do. Absolutely. 100%. No question about it, Peach. I do love CM Punk. He is the voice of the voiceless.
He was the voice of the voiceless.
This was my monologue. You have your time. There's plenty of time here. But now he's like,
I don't want to make friends. I just want to make money, which probably isn't any different, but I couldn't think of a cooler way to say it for a catchphrase because I'm not bemoaning CM Punk for how he feels.
So, but here's my thing. You talk about dollars and cents to make money. CM Punk says AEW isn't in the business to make money. CM Punk said they're not a real business.
Yeah, that's what he says. Is it because of the guaranteed money? Is that why?
He says guaranteed money ruined wrestling.
No one over in AEW is even trying, bruv.
Because even though I promise you, the most hypocritical comment he made was that because he's not coming back to wrestling without guaranteed money.
Oh, hell no.
So that was
no way. That was
the biggest comment I ever took issue with from that. It's like, yeah, you might feel that way, but would you...
If not,
because he said AEW and wrestling as a whole would be different if you made your money based on the house.
If not for AEW, CM Punk would not be wrestling right now.
It's true. It gave him the money.
You think Triple H would have been forgive and forget if he couldn't prove himself a draw? We don't need you. Would it ever have given CM Punk a reason? Because he had all those issues with Triple H and Vince. I mean, he had a lot to say about Triple H when he left the WWE. So, without AEW, there is no CM Punk in pro wrestling in 2024. Period. Straight up. Straight up.
It's true.
There's no CM Punk without AEW. I mean, sure, he was a thing before, yes, but there's no CM Punk back in the ring without All Elite Wrestling.
Because TNA couldn't get it done?
Nope. He wanted to because, one, they had proven themselves as a commodity. Let's not forget that. He didn't hop on the bandwagon at first. There was guaranteed money. And he heard a lot of good things.
Money.
But let's be honest, it's probably the most successful startup company in the history of the planet. Not just pro wrestling company, but come on. They've had a lot of success of 5 years.
Speaking of AEW Dynamite.
Woo! Dynamite! Bruv.
The ratings are out.
Oh, cool.
We were talking about ratings.
Yeah.
Might as well. AEW ties our lowest 18 to 49 demo since 2021.
Cool.
The Dynamite was up slightly in viewership to 752,000.
That's a lot. 752,000 people. That's a lot of people.
But that continues to be down from where they were. It was just a couple weeks ago they were getting 800,000. What's changed?
WrestleMania.
And again, you got to remember, I'm on the AEW train with you at this point. If I have a team in this war, because we all know AEW and WWE's competition, they view each other that way for now. Yeah. If I have a team in this war currently, and this disappoints Ryan, he told me it breaks his heart, I'm team AEW. I told him that the other night.
I said, I don't want AEW to fail, but I'd love for AEW or another company to get him run for their money. And he said, it breaks my heart, man. And I don't get why, but that's all right.
Is it a little concerning that they're losing? They're not bleeding. They're not hemorrhaging viewers, but it was just a couple weeks ago. They were still in the 800,000s, and suddenly they can't crack that now.
I mean, it's not great, but how many people took a whole week's of vacation to go to Philly?
Fair.
I think that hurts your ratings.
I believe she's going to Philly.
How many people go, oh, that's not The Rock? How many people go, who's this guy fighting Lance Archer or fighting Bryan Danielson? Because he's never on TV. Like, it's an issue. It's a barometer, and there's ways to fix that. And we should probably move ways to fix that.
We could go ahead and, I don't know, Lance Archer's got a pretty famous manager.
Right?
That we could use on TV.
That could help. Also, I think it could help very much like Shibata and the Area Assassin Will Ospreay last week. There was a really good story that they were telling on commentary, and I know we're skipping over the Battle of Wills, but it just kind of led into this part of the conversation first.
We're flying by the seat of our pants here.
You mean to tell me they both started in Texas, probably a reasonable drive considering what state you're in?
Yep.
Because that's always a difference maker, depending on the state, how far you're willing to drive. And have been in almost all of the same places.
Looking for love.
And have never, ever?
Never, ever.
Never, ever, 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 ever?
Forever.
Have they wrestled before? And I'm finding this out now. The match was great. But I'm finding this out. I'm finding this out now? Why am I finding this out now? I'm glad they told the story while they were wrestling. But why am I finding this out now? Why are we burning through it on Dynamite? Why didn't you tell us this? Why isn't Lance Archer like, I'm never on TV and it's your fault? You have claimed that this is your run and you wrestle who you want to, but you're afraid to wrestle me. And they go back and forth for a couple of weeks. Maybe Lance Archer pisses him off. Maybe even Danielson goes, there's a reason we've never been in the ring together in 20 years, even though we've been all in the same places. Go full, almost heel Danielson, not like be the heel, but go into that insulting BCC Danielson and build something to the first ever, because I love these dream matches. I really do. They're great, but you can't deny that if you try to tell that story there, you get more viewers. When you texted me literally like probably an hour after I got home that it was announced, I was like, wait, what?
Before I sent it to you.
In the afternoon on a Wednesday? Why?
What that tells me, and I could be guessing.
Why?
I could be guessing here, but walk with me on this, all right? That tells me, in my opinion, that Tony Khan is kind of doing a Vince thing on that, and that's, I came up with that day, at that hour, at that point, and here, let's do it in.
Which, then make it a segment.
Because I agree with you. Because, number one, I'm a big Lance Archer fan, period. Number two, I'm even bigger with it because of his manager. Number three, I like Bryan Danielson because, you know, I'm a BCC guy. So here's what I think. Here's what I believe should have happened here. I think at the very least, if you don't do 2-3 weeks in advance, if you don't do that, then at the very least, have next week's card thought out. And so we can have a week of Danielson's going to face Archer. And technically, you can, and one thing AEW doesn't do enough, in my estimation, and frankly, WWE doesn't either, is, all right, if you for some reason have, you know, screwed the pooch on your TV time, right? There's a thing called social media. We can cut promos and we can post them to all the social media pages, which arguably might get more views in today's world than your cable.
It actually does work.
And so I think you need a more, I'm not saying he doesn't have a plan overall. I think he does. But I think for Lance Archer, right now he's got no plan. Because Lance Archer is randomly on Collision with the Righteous. Or a few weeks ago, he was on Ring of Honor Television with Jake. Because I think, frankly, I think Jake's absence is a sign of I have no plan. Because I think if he planned to have him, hey, Jake, I'm using Lance. Come on in.
I feel like it was one of those, oh, shit, you're here? Do you want to wrestle
come
tonight?
Come on in!
And look, like I said, that match was great. But really, it had less of a fucking lead up than Will Hobbs and Will Ospreay.
I thought they were overhyping the Battle of the Wills thing.
I thought it was fun. Like, calling it Battle of the Wills. It's you know.
I thought it was funny.
I mean, dad joke comedy. I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
I'd watch my
and he does, and
that.
It's what's funnier is he doesn't really go by Will Hobbs. He goes Powerhouse Hobbs.
Because when they first said it, I was like,
yeah, it threw me off for a second too. Like Battle of Wills, okay. Like,
it's,
I get it, because he's fucking Powerhouse Hobbs, and that was a banger, bruv. How good is Powerhouse Hobbs? Because I'm always, you know, gushing over the aerial assassin that is Will Ospreay. Always.
Hobbs.
But my God, how good was Powerhouse Hobbs? How much shit did he do? And Will Ospreay walked away with a nary a scratch. And I don't mean he didn't whoop his ass. I mean he professionally beat the shit out of Will Ospreay for a while.
No, I have such faith in the future of Will Powerhouse Hobbs. I think he could be the next great homegrown AEW star.
That is so good.
Because let's take a look at it. He's been a member of Team Taz for like 2 years. So that tells you what Taz thinks. He's a CW legend. He's one of the few people that Ric Flair's chosen to get physical with in his AEW run. And he's one of the few people that Powerhouse Hobbs has asked Ric Flair for his advice multiple times when he sees him in the back, which is a rarity in today's world.
Powerhouse Hobbs is very inquisitive. He asks all kinds of questions.
He's a special project for Mark Henry. He's got the look, obviously. He's got the charisma.
Dude, I loved that Avalanche tour of the islands. That was not a power slam. That was a tour of the islands from the middle rope. I was like, holy shit.
Frankly,
and he did it perfectly.
Frankly, he could be what... He could have the original Wardlow push and it would work.
Yeah.
And it could have worked for Wardlow. I'm not saying
it could have.
That was Tony or somebody's fault.
Well, there's He's at least... This isn't saying much. At least he's in better standing than Wardlow. Like I said, not saying much. But hey, there's effort there with Powerhouse Hobbs.
Look, I hate, nobody hates to say I told you so more than whole Loganity. I mean, I don't ever come on this show and say I told you so. Right?
Right.
Right. They should call me Wrestling's Nostradamus because I might just be a fan, but damn it. I can read those tea leaves. I'm like a blind man with a braille, baby.
So, I mean, there's just, I don't know.
I told you the Undisputed Kingdom was poo-poo Magoo.
Yeah, I gave it a shot, and it's bleh.
And it's poo-poo Magoo.
It's bleh.
Poo-poo Magoo. Say poo-poo Magoo.
Poo-poo Magoo.
There you go. Because saying poo-poo Magoo is fun. That's exactly why. I'm like, if he says it, he's
going to
smile.
Did you say Undisputed?
Undisputed Kingdom.
I was just making sure because it's so easy, you know, to confuse it with the United Kingdom, that giant country, because it's so fucking close.
If I said United Kingdom, sorry.
But hey, at least they have a name, unlike the street business.
But I'm an American, so poo poo Magoo. And so, yeah, I told you. Will Ospreay might be the greatest wrestler on the planet. Again, it's tough to say unequivocally who is.
Like no, that's fair, but I mean, he's up there.
Ospreay's in the conversation.
He's AEW's Cody.
Incredible.
He's AEW's Cody.
Cody's
I think he's a better, like, nothing against Cody, but I think Ospreay is a better wrestler than Cody. Nothing, because Cody's fucking fantastic. I'm not shitting on Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, I think Cody's
but
a better
promo. Yeah, for now. You can see the lack of a better term, at the MJF in him a little bit.
Like, you can build a company around Will Ospreay. Sure. There's some questions about some of the guys in AEW. There's questions about guys in WWE. Absolutely. But, like, you can build a company around Will Ospreay. You can build a company around MJF, Cody Rhodes, and Roman Reigns. Sure. Those are the only proven, like, commodities. And I say proven for Cody because he helped start the fucking thing.
He did, and Adam Copeland gave the credit, by the way.
Yes, he did.
All right, so we've taught Danielson Archer. We hate the lack of build.
Yeah, it was great, but you could have built the, and I also didn't like one right after the other. Fuck, bro, what are we doing in the first hour? Like, if it was a commercial free hour, I could probably see the reasoning behind having these, like, two matches right after,
like,
each other.
Like,
yeah, like that I could see. But I'm like, damn, really?
The Young Bucks.
It's not fucking Dynasty tonight, Tony. Like, can we not do this right now?
April 21st at Dynasty will be dialed in.
Because I think, like, you put the tag match in between those matches, I think the flow of the show feels better. It's a nice little, because that match was great, but it's a nice little palate cleanser between two banger singles matches. And you can't move Adam Copeland in between because he had something important to say. So you got to kick off with that.
By the way, here's a funny thing about the Adam Copeland segment. You know, he brings out Will Ospreay afterwards. He didn't come out with his TNT championship. Then all of a sudden, when Ospreay comes out and they cut back to Copeland in the ring smiling, he's got his TNT title on the belt.
He had it on backwards under his jacket.
Did he really?
Probably. That's what I would have done. I'm still wearing that shit, but I'm going to say, because technically he's not showing it off if it's backwards, so he's not lying.
But did he notice? I was like, where the hell did the belt come from?
No, I noticed that, so I was like, what?
Hold on a second.
Hold
on,
man.
But they haven't had
him and Penta's going to be fun.
Oh, that's going to be a banger. It's going to be a banger. No. What do you think?
That got more build than Danielson and Archer.
Literally. What do you think of the tagline, "We're the best wrestle"? Obviously, it's a shot at where the big boys play, because Bischoff and Connor
But they seem... And it's not wrong.
I thought it...
Because it was very blatantly... There was, like, one little...
Because I thought it was just something that Tony tweeted to... And it probably was at the time, but Tony tweeted to kind of get back at Bischoff. Because remember, Bischoff's first tagline for WCW was, "Where the big boys play." That's right, folks. I'm a man that knows my history. I might be a little young in the tooth, but this up here, wise.
I think it's smart because it's really not taking a shot at the other company. It's like
taking a shot at the dead company.
Well, if no, maybe.
Kinda,
but I mean, he made it his own, whatever. But the way I see it, it's like, okay, yeah, I see that because yes, he's not wrong. He came here. Danielson came here. Ospreay came here. If Randy came, if AJ came, you would see a different side of them because of the freedom and the focus on in the in-ring product. That's why I don't see it as a shot. I'm like, he's kind of not wrong because if you go there, you're wrestling. You aren't, unless you are hurt or have no ideas. Or Tony has no ideas for you. I don't know how that works.
I was disappointed.
You're working.
I was disappointed he didn't mention Ric Flair in that little.
Well, he kind of forgot.
Because Ric Flair came here.
He did.
Ric Flair is there.
But he's not wrestling.
Maybe someday,
never, but not.
Say never,
not I didn't say never. I said
never
right now. So
never.
He's not included in the best wrestle part. He's there. And he's one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
Might be the GOAT.
But until he steps in the ring, he's not part of that conversation.
One more time, baby. Let's go. I'll see you in the UK. I'm telling you, Wembley. They'd sell 20,000 extra tickets on Ric Flair's name alone.
Are you sure?
Yes. In London? Absolutely.
They
treat legends
facetious.
Like a god over there.
Because they never get to see
them. I know. So if Ric Flair had one last match in Wembley, oh, they're throwing babies in the air, Jason. They're throwing children in the air.
Sure.
They are, I promise you.
Maybe.
I promise you. Anywho, one thing else I want to talk about with Dynamite, two things. First, though, Mercedes Moné challenging for the TBS championship. I think that's wonderful. People think that's bad because why aren't you going for the... Give some credibility to the TBS title. But here's my issue. It's the same one you have. We're about to agree. Mercedes? Pardon me, ma'am. There's a pay-per-view before Double or Nothing. It's called Dynasty. If you look up at your monitor, you'll see it being advertised pretty heavily in between the Woo Energy graphics.
Mm-hmm.
Ma'am, why wouldn't you challenge for said title at technically your first AEW pay-per-view?
Just can't. Willow Nightingale's challenging.
I couldn't care less. Making a triple threat. Why
like Willow Nightingale.
I'm not cutting on her. Let me finish.
Because she's afraid of Willow Nightingale. She got hurt.
Why? She's the most joyful woman I've ever seen.
But she got hurt fighting Willow Nightingale. She's afraid.
Maybe she's just fragile.
I mean, that's true.
She gets hurt a fair amount.
Some people have that. Yeah. I mean, CM Punk has that same problem.
Why is it that we had to do that? I mean,
I'm making a point. I'm making a point.
That's not...
Oh, okay, sure. I can accept the fact that Sasha Banks might be fragile, probably because of all the crazy shit Charlotte and her did to each other. But I put CM Punk in the same conversation because ever since he's come back, he's gotten hurt. I'm not yelling at CM Punk for getting hurt. That shit happens.
I just wanted to prove Peachy that I do love CM Punk. Strongest man I've ever seen, damn it. Ligaments, tough as nails.
It's all the work, brother. It's not really hurt. Is that where we're going?
No.
Oh, okay, just making sure. No, just making sure.
He's just doing the roster a favor, you know. He's giving it his all out there.
I'm not yelling at him. So, I'm just saying.
But why isn't Mercedes wrestling a Dynasty?
I don't know.
Do you think that's a mistake?
I think it's a mistake if she's cleared to wrestle to not have her wrestle. I think it's a mistake. I don't know what we're doing.
Don't know what we're doing.
It just doesn't make sense.
Any thoughts?
Not really.
All right, let's move on to the contract signing.
Yeah.
So then we're going to take a break.
Well, Thunder Rosa and Mariah May was a banger.
Yeah, but Toni Storm wasn't able to give her a kiss. That was wonderful, by the way.
Yeah, that was cool, but it's fine.
I wish we could have cut the nature of that.
Yeah.
You could have just...
They don't think that way. He probably was, too.
A simple...
He was in Gorilla.
You don't need him to say anything gross. Just a simple, you know, bloodshot, real, like, whoa.
Tony was speechless after Thunder Rosa beat Mariah May in Toni Storm cosplay. And yeah, Thunder Rosa.
I like
Thunder Rosa. I'm a huge fan. And I'm an even bigger fan when she comes out dressed like Laura Kinney from Wolverine. It's great. And I love Mariah May. She's doing great in this character right now. That's fucking great. I'll be honest. I was getting nervous. I was like, the tag match started. And I'm like, didn't they advertise Thunder Rosa versus Mariah May?
I'm like,
you guys are cutting it fucking close. I was like, wait, is that why Archer and Danielson got added late? Like, what?
Cutting it, pal.
And then, that was good. It was a banger.
All right. I agree with you. AEW World Title contract signing for Dynasty. Best known probably for the fact of, well, number one, Swerve's a freak. That's number one. But Samoa Joe has not one to say ever too soon by making the Diddy reference there.
That was hilarious. It was great.
That
was wonderful. I didn't even see that coming.
I'll tell you what, though. If Diddy, for some reason, is found innocent, and of course, he hasn't been charged yet, so who knows, right? I'm being fair here. I'm being fair. Fair. That's all. AEW might have just opened themselves up for defamation lawsuit.
It's working, brother.
I'm just saying, look.
I trust Samoa Joe. He doesn't even have to tell me what he's gonna say. It's okay.
He might have Diddy's number, for God's sake.
Let's hope not.
Well, now, but I don't know. Back in the day, he might still have it in the sense of. If they ran into each other. Because Diddy was kind of... He did a few wrestling things.
Yeah.
He was at WrestleMania that one year and did a couple guest host spots.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying I'm condoning the allegations here.
I didn't say you were.
Does he have interest in wrestling or doesn't he?
I don't know. Maybe. Or they said, oh, look, you made money after Biggie died. Do you want some more money? Maybe you can get the young hip crowd to watch us.
I certainly am not condoning anything Diddy has allegedly done, but Bad Boy for Life is a hit.
It is a hit.
Yeah, I mean,
it is a hit. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
You ain't going. All right. No, I thought this was great. I thought the pen thing showed how far Swerve is willing to go. That's
because whose house is it?
Swerve's house.
It's Swerve's house, buddy.
Give it to me. That. Come on, you got to do the twirl too. You got to do the thing.
I can't do the twirl right now.
Well, just get your arm up. Oh, okay. Just come on. There we go.
I got half of it.
That's right. We didn't know we were doing Prince Nana or Texas Hold'em or Beyonce.
Who knows?
All right.
I do. Yeah.
Any other final thoughts on Dynamite? Because I hate to fly over it like this.
But we kind of have to. We're already an hour in.
Because the news is huge.
I will give my thoughts. I thought that the contract signing was absolutely perfect. From the words that were spoken to how far you can see that Swerve is willing to go, how far Joe's willing to go, the look of bewilderment. From Samoa Joe, when he left him laying there, I'm sorry, when he left Swerve laying there in a pool of his own blood, and then he just signed that contract. Nice try getting to work like that. That was a great effort, Swerve. That was a great effort. You could tell he was like, damn, it didn't work.
Yep.
Just put my blood on it then. Fuck, stupid pen. And
he needs to take after, those from Vince and Hogan.
After
Vince
the
stabbed Hogan in the head, it was that like, one year and just
yeah. And it was like good 30, 45 seconds of bewilderment, and then Samoa Joe was like, "Nah, fuck that. You're noggied him through the table." Oh yeah, I forgot to bring this back with me. Grabs his championship, holds it in the air.
This is mine. No, I thought it. It's two
Forbidden Door 24, Samoa Joe versus Roman Reigns. Damn it.
It's not ever happening.
I know, but a guy can dream.
I don't know why you'd want to work with the Evil Empire.
It's fine.
Actually, the because more you find out, it's not fine.
Because look, yes.
We're going to talk more about the culture.
We have all kinds of dream matches in AEW.
Sure.
But tell me that's not the definition of a dream match. AEW versus WWE. We split all the profits down the damn middle. All the AEW people get their normal money from, you know, merch sales and shit. All the WWE people get their money from merch sales and shit. Split the any profits that are because of both. Split them bitches. Call it a day. It'd be great. Seth Rollins versus Will Ospreay. Book it. Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe. Book it.
We're in a long way.
No, you know what? Cody and Will Ospreay. Book it.
We are a long way.
Powerhouse Hobbs and Brig Bronson Reed. Oh, no, Gunther. Powerhouse Hobbs and Gunther.
We are a long way.
No!
So with that,
I don't want to believe it.
Well, that's all right. I get it. I've been there. So we're going to take our first break. We come back. We have a lot to talk about around the ropes. What are we going to talk about? Let me give you a preview. Well, love letters in the sand, number one. Vince's accuser allegedly wrote him a love letter. We're going to talk about that. We got statements from every lawyer involved. Ronda Rousey continues to talk a lot of good stuff. We're going to talk about AEW's talent releases, and we're going to talk about Big E and his potential return maybe someday. We'll see what happens on that. So don't move a move. This is probably going to be a testy next 30 minutes or so here on to the Turnbuckle, a Snapmare produced. And Bruiser Nation production, pardon me, presented by our good friends, Dubby!
Hey, what's up, guys? Superman Onyx here. WrestleFit, one of the newest, baddest workouts out there right now. Now, yes, the word wrestling is in it, but you won't be wrestling. You won't be doing the headlocks or the slams or the spine busters that I do. Yeah. But what you will be doing is everything that we do to get ready to get in the ring, from kettlebell swings to slam balls to flipping tires to hitting tires to doing Olympic weightlifting movements. Guys, you don't want to miss out on this. WrestleFit is the way to go. gives you a little bit of everything. I hope to see you soon. Hey, what's up, guys? Superman Onyx here. Hey, Russell Fit, one of the newest, baddest workouts out there right now. Now, yes, the word wrestling is in it, and I'm providing a wrestling ring, but you won't be wrestling. You won't be doing the headlocks or the slams or the spine busters that I do. Yeah, but what you will be doing is everything that we do to get ready to get in the ring, from kettlebell swings to slam balls to flipping tires to hitting tires to doing Olympic weightlifting movements. Guys, you don't want to miss out on this. Russell Fit is the way to go. Get you a little bit of everything. Hope to see you soon.
Have kids? Looking for a fun, inviting way to wear them out and help them stay healthy and fit? Then look no further, my friends. WrestleFit Junior is exactly what you're looking for. Certified personal trainer and pro wrestler Superman Onyx will treat your mini you to a fitness program like no other. With exercises like running the ropes to tire flips, and combining healthy eating habits and personal accountability, your child will earn the conditioning of a pro wrestler without the bumps. Stop by the Now Training Center at 625 Eastgate Parkway, Blacklick, Ohio 43004, or visit WrestleFitJr.com on Facebook for class schedules and book an appointment today.
I'm losing track of the knobs here. Sorry. Because I gotta. Travis echoes if I'm not like over here paying attention to him talking, so I gotta turn him up.
Quit messing with my knob. God damn.
Who matches up in front of you?
No, I expected you to do it, but I'll do it.
Oh, okay, because I'm not doing enough. Oh, the new world champion?
I need a second.
The new champion for All Elite Wrestling?
Yeah.
Mr. Samoa Joe?
Stop talking to me.